Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified internist and addiction medicine specialist. Sherry Manthe is supposed to be our guest tonight. She is from Survivor 2 and currently gracing the pages of Playboy. Out on newsstands as we speak, right? The September issue's out. We will talk to her, in theory, when she comes in the studio, but she may have gotten lost on the way here. Now, there's a whole group of, I don't want to call them losers, but losers slash spaz.
There aren't any females in the group.
No.
Let's put it that. Let's start with that.
I'm going to call them spoozers. So spaz loser guys hanging out front who want to get stuff signed by Jerry. And here's the deal. If you're a woman and you're on the cover of something, especially Playboy, these guys get on the internet. They figure out when they're coming in here. Then they stand up front and they get them to sign it. Not because they want to give it to their kids or put it in their office or garage. They want to sell it. I have signed many things, and I don't know if you have too, Drew, that are nothing more than 3x5 cards.
Oh, yeah.
They wait out, people wait out front of trendy restaurants, sure. And they wait out front of nice hotels in New York, and when you step out, they ask you to sign it.
Sure.
And then, usually by the time you get to the third or fourth one, the third or fourth person asks who you are.
Yeah.
Because if they see other people wanting you to sign something, they'll sign it. Yeah. And then, you know, if you get brought up on rape charges or die in a plane crash,
there you go.
That card may be worth something one day to them.
That's also, by the way, why they take your picture when you walked into a whatever event. It's not because they're going to use it.
I know. Every time, if you walk down the red carpet, people go, Adam, over here. And I yell at them every time, where are these goddamn pictures? I've never seen one of them. I'll tell you where they are. Yeah. Soon as I rape my mom,
there you go,
and then go on a crime spree.
Oh yeah,
that's the picture they're going to use. So anyway, Jerry Manthe should be in here after she makes her way through the what do I call them, loser spaz, bluesers, spaz slash losers that are waiting out front of Loveline. All right. Oh, and here she is now.
Jerry,
she's here.
Yes, we were just talking about them.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
The spaz losers. The sploozers. I've just coined a new phrase.
Wow.
Yeah,
yikes.
Did you sign your magazines?
No, I ran straight in here.
Oh, smart.
But I did sign one for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh. All right.
I knew if anyone, you'd appreciate it.
Oh, that is beautiful. And you know what? I haven't even seen you in it yet.
Oh, you haven't?
He almost did. We just handed it to him, and he... But on the radio.
Now you've never posed nude for anything before, right?
Never.
Right.
Never.
And I think as now you're not an ultra religious or conservative person, are you?
No, ultra.
Not by any means.
Right. Not at all. No, but what I'm saying is I think most people, women and men, don't object to being seen nude. They object to looking bad nude. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we make a big deal over being nude, but look at guys who look really good with their shirts off.
Their shirts are off all the time.
Yeah. They're at a Cub game in September, and it's a night game, and it's 44 degrees outside, and that shirt is off, man.
That's why I felt so comfortable doing it, is because I knew that these people had been doing it for years and years, and they would make me look fabulous.
Right.
Experts.
And why wouldn't they? I mean, it behooves them to make you look fabulous, too.
Exactly. It works for everyone.
Right.
Oh. The stylist, the makeup artist, everybody.
I'll tell you, Drew, I just flipped open to the back of Playboy here, and I see they do that Girls of the Pac-10 or the Big 8 or whatever. Right. I love that. Don't you like that part of Playboy?
You now reminded me what I was going to say about posing nude. It's not so much the posing nude or the... I agree with the looking good part, but it's sort of what men do in with these pictures that seems unpleasant.
I've had people ask me that, if that would bother me, but no. Absolutely not. It just means they're healthy.
Yeah. It's a
compliment
of the highest order.
Oh.
Yeah, but do guys, and I know there's no answer to this question, but do they beat off to Playboy anymore?
I would say yes.
It's a good question. They must.
I would say yes.
I think of Playboy as sort of the cocktail before dinner.
The mixed nuts.
Yeah, it's the mixed
so
nuts.
So to speak.
And the highball you have before you sink your teeth into the top sirloin known as hardcore porn.
When you were into your masturbatory prime.
Sure.
Playboy was all you had, right?
Hold on. Let's let everyone know what that prime was. That was 79 through 2025, right?
No, through 99.
Through 99, yes.
But Playboy is all you had, really.
That's right. We had to make do. And this would have been plenty enough for me back when I was in my masturbatory prime. But now my penis and scrotum have moved on to bigger and yuckier things.
Oh.
But Drew, hold on to this. Hold on.
Wait, hold on.
Put that mic down there.
We'll take a call while you...
Okay, because I've not seen this.
Maybe we should get your reactions live. That's good.
I think that'd be fun.
With a call.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what someone, an expert, would have to say.
All right, thank you. I think. Ooh, let's see. Philadelphia picked to win the NFC East this year.
There's some great articles in this issue as well.
It's pretty amazing that this article, it's got to be 3 weeks old or a month old. Philadelphia was on their ass a month ago.
Mm-hmm. It's been out since the beginning of the month.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Grit and wit make Jerry a star of the Outback. Right, looking good. Wearing something very, like a sheer bikini.
Hey, there's someone with their shirt off over there.
Oh. That's nice.
Look, Anderson.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Does he have his pants on?
Fair amount of man boob in that room.
Nice.
Come on.
See,
put,
these are very artistic.
How did she see that with her head? We missed it, and she has her back turned to them, and she caught that.
I saw Damien taking his shirt off, but I tried to block it out and move forward.
This is
beautiful. Now, where'd you shoot this?
Some of it was shot in Utah, like around Arches National Park area. And all the blue background pictures were shot, believe it or not, in Palmdale at a studio they built in the middle of the desert. It was all outdoor studio.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
And did they build that for you?
Yeah.
Wow, that's huge. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. I felt...
So that's
water.
That's water.
Yeah.
That's the studio?
Yeah, they built the studio so that you could flood the floor.
Oh, and that's a big, like, psych behind you that's airbrushed or something with the clouds and everything?
Yeah, isn't it beautiful?
That's amazing.
I'm very happy with the way it came out.
And what about this here? That's those rocks and stuff.
Those rocks were all made specially for the shoot.
Holy Christ. All right, now let's
and the driftwood and all that.
Oh, yes, there's the great vagina shot.
Hey, that is not.
Yes. Wow, like a muse.
Oh, no, there's no vagina shots in
this.
Well,
I'd say so, yes.
This is a layout, not a spread. Healthy vagina.
Very wonderful. This is good. I could masturbate to this.
I take that as a compliment, Adam. Thank you.
Two fists up.
Get two hampers up.
Yeah.
Oh,
came out very nice. And
thank you.
And I imagine.
Two gym socks.
I mean, look,
up, right?
I
think I'm blushing. Oh, my goodness.
I told Drew that he should photograph his children nude every year on their birthday until they're old enough to work the camera for themselves and do it.
Why?
Because wouldn't it be totally freaky to see yourself at 7, at 13, at 21? Here would be, this would be great. God. Somebody's got to do this.
Okay. Sounds really abusive.
Okay, but
it sounds, I don't know if I want to know. I don't know if I want to hear anymore.
Any parent that would do that is suspect.
Okay, but tell me how cool this would be. Starting at age one, you stand in front of those blue backdrops they use at the prom or the where they take pictures of the kids at the mall or some nondescript blue background, and you just stand there with your hands at your side, no expression on your face, naked, and you take a picture on your first birthday and your second birthday, and you go all the way through till your mid-70s.
Then you fast.
Then you make it into a flip book.
Yeah.
And it's like pubic hair.
But see, that's about
breasts,
when you can...
And then breasts hanging, and then maybe get a mastectomy at some point, or...
The age when you can start working the camera, and you... The pubescent properties that take place during those years.
I'd like to have a picture of myself naked at 14.
Let's leave it at that.
Yeah.
That you'd like a picture of yourself.
Yeah.
All right. So how's the feedback been? Your parents, all that kind of stuff, school teachers, clergymen, everything been good?
The priest.
Priest.
Yeah. No, my parents... basically, they brought me up. They taught me right from wrong and sent me out into the world. So as long as I'm happy and it's something that I'm proud of, they're happy for me. But they don't, whether they agree with it or not is a whole nother
thing.
They're
going nuts, but she doesn't listen to her.
Right.
Okay.
You know what I'd love? I want to hear a playmate, because they always interview the playmates or the people that pose or do whatever, and they go, well, I was a little apprehensive about telling my father because he was a very, he's a traditional kind of guy. Mm-hmm. But you know what? He saw it. And he actually, you know, he really enjoyed it. It was okay with him and blah, blah,
no,
blah.
No, I won't be saying that.
Good, good.
No, my dad.
I want to hear a story where the guy flipped out and tried to kill you and himself.
No. My dad and I have an agreement that he'll never look at the pictures. He's like,
healthy enough.
Yeah, he's like, I'm glad you're happy you did it. I'm proud of the fact that you are a woman and you made up your mind and you did what you wanted to do, but... He'll never see the pictures.
You know what's funny about the the nude posing stuff is how they have a person who's like a robe wrangler who's standing nearby holding a robe, right?
Right.
Jerry will stand naked for like 14 hours, but the second someone goes, Herb, I need a new battery in this car, like, get the robe in there! Get the robe in! Come on, she's not a piece of meat. It was like eight dudes have been looking at you naked for 8 hours, but the second a light goes out or something, it's like, come on, with the robe, the robe. They put the robe around you and then robe off, time to work, right?
Yeah, well...
Was there a robe wrangler?
I was my own robe wrangler, basically.
Well, where was the robe, though? How'd you get the robe?
It was over on the side.
Someone had to bring in the robe.
No, I mean, I was very comfortable. I'm perfectly comfortable with my body, and I'm working with people that are used to seeing naked women all the time. And I think that the second you feel shameful about your body, that's when you're shamed.
No robe wrangler, is that what you're saying?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Interesting.
I actually had conversations with the lighting guys. I was like, so, do you guys have a girlfriend? I was standing there totally naked.
Wow.
It was a very bizarre experience.
Good money for that.
It was very bizarre, I have to say.
How long was the shoot?
2 weeks.
You were naked for 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Right? No robe? Really? 2 weeks?
Yeah, it was two weeks.
Did they do, was it all still, or did they do a bunch of video stuff, too? Or?
Oh, no. I actually turned down a large amount of money to not do a video. I felt very strongly about not...
Why? What would that mean to you?
Well, for me, there's a huge difference between the still photos and the moving picture.
Interesting.
It almost crosses over into the pornography portion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah. So for me, it was a big decision, but I felt apprehensive about doing a video, so immediately I was... Mm. Because I knew I'd be uncomfortable and it would show in film, and there's just no reason to go there, regardless of the money. And it was a lot.
How much was it?
I can't tell you that.
Oh, please.
You guys,
don't
we
tease,
went through this last
tease.
Time.
I know,
remember?
We did. This is yeah.
The same. You turned it down. People have a newfound respect for you when they find out how much you turned down.
They probably would.
Million? Over a million.
Over or under? Let's play over or under.
Over a million, under a million.
I'm not saying.
What do you care?
I do. Because I like to keep some things private. I'm already naked. I think I exposed enough.
I know, but it's like some guy offered me a bunch of money to blow him. This old rich queen. Yeah, how much? Oh, I can't say. Why not?
That's different.
Why? It's not different. I didn't do it.
Not
different if you didn't do it.
I don't like talking about money. It makes me uncomfortable.
I can understand that, but more importantly, I think, Adam, not everyone in this industry hates everyone else in this industry the way you do.
I do. How dare you?
You know what I'm saying? Except Daniel and Jimmy.
What are you talking about?
What?
What do you mean?
You talk ass about any and everybody.
Well, that's true, but what's that have to do with this?
She's trying to make nice relationships with people.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. You don't want to screw Playboy.
Right.
I don't want to screw anybody over. But I have no reason to.
I don't understand what the inherent screwing is in telling us what you turned down.
They're very private about the money that they pay people.
All right. Well, if they asked you not to...
Yeah, I signed a confidentiality agreement.
Oh, all right. Well, listen, you bring that up 10 minutes ago. Tell me off the air. I'm saying it's a million and change. I'm saying like 1 point something.
Yeah.
And you know the great thing about those videos, as I've seen a million of them, where they're always naked, but they're kind of... in this sort of fake habitat, some kind of country thing.
That's what I said. I was like, I'm not running naked through a field blowing bubbles.
They're washing
not gonna do
they're
it.
Washing a car. There's something going on. And then at a certain
playing
point,
with their
it's
dog.
Like, these Daisy Dukes are too confining. I have to get out of this. They're always
they chafe too. Daisy yeah. Dukes are bad news.
And once in a while they try to weave a guy in there too. Yeah. Yeah. Oh yes. Playboy's moving right along. Valerie?
Yeah.
You're 38?
Yeah.
What's up there?
Well, I was looking for your experience in the anal world.
Adam's experience?
Yes.
All right.
Well, giving or receiving?
Having Jerry there is nice for a female perspective.
Sure. Playboy offered her $4 million for anal.
Oh, stop it.
She's thinking about it.
I was just wondering, is it normal to experience pain before penetration?
Like just at the thought?
My ass hurts now.
Yeah, mine too.
I'm feeling very uncomfortable myself.
We don't like the thought, no.
Well, what do you mean before?
Before penetration.
Right. I'm hip to that part, but I mean, days before,
like
moments
the
before?
Muscles contract, or there's a muscle spasm, or is this normal?
Is this seconds before penetration?
Yeah. I mean it's just amongst foreplay and then into completion, you know.
Hey, Valerie?
Yeah?
Are you high?
No.
You drink?
Yeah.
Something's up. Listen, you know, people instinctively deny being drunk, but it's that or retarded. So go with drunk.
Or medicated.
Or medicated.
Medication.
Yeah, oh, what do you
pain.
Oh, from the anal sex?
No.
So you're on Vicodin chronically, right?
Excuse me?
What are you taking chronically? What opiate?
Oxycontin.
There we go.
Ooh. So, baby, you got bigger fish to fry than the anal stuff.
It's amazing you can experience anything with all that medicine going.
What's up? Let's talk about the medicine.
I have Dilaudid and...
Ooh.
Why don't you look into getting off some of these medicines?
Well, I have a very rare disorder. It's OLF, ossification of the ligamentum flavum.
I know what ligamentum flavum is. It's not
all but severs my spinal cord.
Right,
I've had several operations on that, but
I know people get
interested in my sexual activity at this point. You know, am I going to?
You know what? I can't. We can't see the trees for the forest here. Unfortunately, we can't get past the more profound problem here, which is your opiate addiction. And God knows what kind of reflexive problems you're getting into from the back injuries. There can be all sorts of hyperreflexia. There's something called the anal wink, Adam. I'm sure you'd appreciate this.
Guy did that to me on the bus.
That can be exaggerated and cause spasm.
Now,
and if you have spinal stenosis,
penis off with that anal
if you have
wink.
Spinal stenosis, you might be getting some...
Wink.
Yes, believe
yeah.
it or not. You might be getting some exaggerated reflex back there. And you're on opiates. I mean, this is just a massive mess here. This is not...
Hey, Valerie.
Yeah.
You because of your opiates and because of your problems physically and your operations and stuff cannot participate in anal sex. Replace the word the term anal sex with like football or hockey. Do you know what I mean? There's certain things you just can no longer. You can't rollerblade.
It's literally like
either.
You're calling us a mine. You just stepped on a landmine and you want us to comment on your eyeshadow or your fingernails. You can't. There's a bigger thing going on here. And it's what's...
Have you ever heard of OLF before?
Yes, people get all kinds of thickening of the ligamentum flavum after recurrent back procedures. So it's not all that uncommon. And you undoubtedly have something called spinal stenosis when you're talking in dramatic terms. Your dramatic description of the spine being cut off is actually a rather common condition. But let's...
All right, Valerie.
Wow.
Take
Listen,
Adam's advice.
No anal sex,
I'm speechless.
You don't have any kids, do you?
I have two.
No! How are they doing?
So far, so good.
All right, no more, right?
No.
All right, baby. And take care of yourself and look at that opiate addiction, all right?
There are other ways to deal with the pain of spinal stenosis. There are.
Listen, here's all I know from doing this show.
I always feel really good when I leave.
Anybody,
I feel normal.
Well, it's all relative. But
yeah.
anybody who is on anyone who has a problem with not being able to work or not or being needing painkillers constantly or something, they're always crazy. Or maybe the painkillers makes them crazy.
Painkillers does, yeah.
I don't know what it is.
But you know, I treat this every day, and I can't tell you how many people are convinced that they're disabled by pain. You take them off the opiates, and magically the pain goes away. The operant question is, are you an alcoholic or do you have a family history of alcoholism? If either of those answer those questions is yes, see an addictionologist, period.
All right, because your body will create pain to be rewarded, yep, too, if it needs
that's
it.
That's precisely what goes on.
It's Peter?
Yeah.
You're 14?
Yeah.
How's your back?
What?
How's your anus?
14.
Good?
Hi.
Everything good?
Yeah.
You keep
it's
that,
14.
You keep,
be nice.
Keep it in order. It's never too young to start maintenance. Proper anal hygiene.
And methadone.
I started at 14. I suggest you all do.
Well, you.
I got a kit that involves a bottle brush and a turkey baster that I'm going to send out
God.
To
God.
Well, and a pair of cutting shears.
Oh, how dare you.
How the hell did you get at it with a bottle brush?
14, please.
As you said, Adam, 14. It would be like trying to find Santa Claus's mouth.
Oh.
Those were your words.
Oh.
Those were his words.
Ew, please,
guys.
In front of Jerry. Please. Things were going so well for us. I'd already seen her nude with him halfway into the first day. Peter?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
All right, first of all, Adam, I was watching one of those old, like, Win Ben Stein's Money.
Right.
How did you lose to the Juggies, man?
Oh. I knew this was going to haunt me. This had to be the most painful experience of my life.
No.
Like, Win Ben Stein's Money with Jimmy and the Juggies and losing to the Juggies. Well, let me say this. As we gave the Juggies a, first off, there's three Juggies. Okay, so that's three brains.
Three half-assed brains.
All right. Oh, please.
I'm sorry.
All right, number two, we then gave them a question at some point. And then the question that I missed, which was, who sung the song, Alone Again Naturally? I answered Gilbert L. Sullivan. The answer was Gilbert O'Sullivan, which I've said 1,000 times and never said the word Gilbert L. Sullivan, which is what your brain will do when you're on a game show.
Yeah.
So screwed myself on that. And the very last question, then we were tied at the end, and the last question is, what was the capital of California? But there's a weird buzzer thing, and, you know, I hit the buzzer the second he asked the question, but they buzzed. And you can't buzz in too early. You got to let them answer. You got to answer the whole question. I grew up in California, for Christ's sake.
I know it's
Tijuana.
Right.
All right. I just got screwed all the
Peter,
way.
Peter, what's your question? We got just a minute.
All right.
Here.
I've had like pubic hair for about 7-8 months.
Yeah.
And no other signs of puberty since then.
Yeah, that's actually what they call pre-puberty. That the pubic hair and some of the voice change and when we get breast bud development, that's actually not the actual puberty. That's actually something created by your adrenal glands just all before right. your testes turn on. So it's coming.
You have a very sexy voice for a 14-year-old.
Thanks.
You got that Playboy? You have the September Playboy?
No, not yet.
All right, we'll get that. You're 14. That's good right. little
it's
starter
only on
kit.
The shelf for 10 more days.
Jumpstart that puberty. All right, Peter.
All right, thanks.
Good times.
Bye.
Jerry Manthey's our guest tonight.
Good times.
Survivor 2, and now the cover of Playboy. 10 more days on the newsstands. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back.
Loveline. We'll be right back.
Here next week.
Oh, my God. When was the last time we
Slash.
Saw him?
Slash.
Like 6 years ago?
I don't know. Right? No, we've probably seen Slash. Well, there was a time when we were seeing a lot of Slash.
That was in the early TV days.
Yeah. I miss that Slash.
Yeah.
Very sweet man.
Is
Slash.
He really?
Yes. You know, out of it and everything, but
does he still have all that hair?
Very nice, yeah.
And we dropped a cigarette in his boot.
Dropped a lit cigarette in his boot. Didn't care either.
Didn't mind.
But wouldn't you call Slash sort of like a sweet soul? Like he's a very good guy?
Nice, yeah, nice.
He's like a sort of gentle guy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like it's weird in rock and roll. You know, the other guy's just like a sort of a nice guy is a Tommy Lee, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I met him.
Mm-hmm.
Very friendly. I don't know what happens. I don't know what happens when he gets loaded.
I met him in the
and gets
he
a
pulled
boner.
Me in the bathroom at Crazy Girls.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was a Stuff magazine party, and he's going into the guy's bathroom, and my best friend was like, "Hey, what's going on?" He grabbed her arm, and then she grabbed my arm and pulled me into the bathroom.
Ooh,
and,
like a chain of you in there.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, I didn't have a chance to say anything, and he said, "We're going to play Fireman." And I go, "Fireman?" He's like, as he's unzipping his pants, "Yeah, there's a fire in the toilet, and you're going to have to put it out."
Oh, wow.
And I just looked at my best friend. We looked at each other. We're like, "Oh my god!" We both just
blew the hell
hauled
out of
ass out of the bathroom.
Oh, you left?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I didn't know.
I did. No. Nothing like that happened.
No.
And he came out and he, you know, kissed us both on the cheek. Like, that's my Tommy Lee story.
So that's the move, Fireman.
It's a great line, I guess. If it,
yeah, I'm not sure it would work with you, Adam, though.
It probably works.
It needs
with
to be
some
a
girls.
Hose.
Let's play kazoo.
Oh.
Yeah.
No. How well do you guys know each other?
We've seen each other's junk. We travel a lot in a lot of those airport bathrooms.
Take a lot of showers together, do you?
Airport when bathrooms without dividers.
You're right.
Yeah.
See, I always forget about that. Guys have that whole thing going on.
Listen,
do you check out other guys when you're in the guy's bathroom?
You have to. It's that or your own. So it's weird. I mean, look.
You compare.
Well, here's the deal. And Drew, as a doctor, you might be able to answer this. But don't you have to sort of examine other people's genitalia when it's put in front of you?
Yeah, that's my job.
That's your job?
Yeah.
No, I don't mean grab it. I don't grab it. When your bunch of guys got their dorks out, you got to look, right? I mean, you just sort of almost have to. I mean, there's a human component there.
I guess girls do that, too, with each other's breasts.
Yeah. You almost have to. And the thing is women complain a lot about waiting in line to get to the bathroom.
Oh, it sucks.
Right. But because you get to go to the bathroom like human beings, where we go in this sort of communal trough like animals.
We go knee to knee in a trough.
I wouldn't want to do it.
Here's the bottom line.
I think that must cause a lot of problems when you're going through puberty as a kid. In school. Is that just horrifying?
Well, there's a couple of things that are horrifying. When you go to, like, the ball game and there's a line of guys, and what'll happen is there'll be a whole line of troughs all the way down the wall, maybe 25 of them.
Wait, you mean the latrines or just
the
a
urinals?
Trough?
Well, there's both.
Yeah.
But let's say the urinals. A whole line of urinals going all the way across the wall. And but people line up like they line up at the ATM. You know that little 5-6 foot buffer zone they give you to take care of business?
Yeah.
That's the same. Yeah. I'd like to do some research
Measure
on this,
it, yeah.
But I think it's the exact same buffer zone they give you at the ATM. I think humans' mind have been in like encrypted and encoded with that.
Yes, you're right.
The pin code protection zone.
It's a zone between, like, anything closer than 4 feet's a little hot, and anything long of 6 foot, someone may slide in front of you.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right. So it's somewhere between somewhere right about 5'6".
Yeah.
Like, if you took an average guy and laid him down with his feet against the tile floor, you'd stand about his head is where you'd stand.
That's a lovely thought.
And then guys line up behind that guy. So you're whizzing, and you're feeling like you got
you got
America standing behind you, and they're all going to explode. And they're usually drunk, you know, and they're at a ball game, and you get the, "Hey, let's go! Hey!" I don't know what a good urine
Sosa's coming
is.
Up in three.
Right. Right. So you're just standing there whizzing, and sometimes when everything lines up perfectly and the conditions are just so, you'll feel a little spray from the guy in the one next to you. Because
God.
It's pretty routine, I'd say.
It's routine. I mean, think about it. You're firing a stream of urine that's coming out at about 55 PSI into the back of a porcelain handball court, essentially. And, of course, there's going to be a miss.
Yeah.
And you line up 25 guys there, and they're all going at the same time.
Or you're actually in a trough, which is full of water that's splashing,
trough,
too. Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Oh,
it's a good thing there's not a breeze in there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, so anyway, you women, you have to wait, but you're waiting on your dignity.
But it's not like we go in there and sit. We can't sit. It's the the urinal area is probably completely soaked with pee.
Here's what I would like to say to the ladies. I would say, look, here is a design concept. I'm going to put a huge pit in the middle of the room, a circular pit. There'll be little seat rests with holes in them, back to back to back to back. It'll look like a daisy from up above. And we'll be able to fit 28 of you per pit in there to go simultaneously. Now there'll be no waiting in line anymore.
No dividers.
But there's gonna be a little spray, and you're gonna be getting hassled while you're going.
Yeah.
You wanna go for that, or you wanna get in line? You get in line.
I'd like to see a design plan on that one.
The Corolla Daisy.
You might have something
to the point.
There.
All right.
Some fine tuning.
Kirsten.
Yeah.
You're 21. What's up?
All right. First of all, I'm sure y'all know you rock. Y'all pretty well hung, I'm sure. You know. So
thank you.
Out,
thank you.
All right. I've been dating this girl for about a month and a half now. I'm just going to tell you she's from France. I don't have it. Probably doesn't have anything to do with it. However, here's the deal. We were going out at first, and everything's all lovey-dovey, and, you know, we got intimate and all that stuff. And now, a month and a half later, it's kind of like, well, she doesn't want to have sex anymore, but she wants to, like, make out all the time and pretty much do most of the other stuff.
How old did you say she was?
26.
Right.
And I know she's, like, clinically depressed and stuff. She's on, I think, Prozac, and she goes to see a therapist, like, every Monday morning and whatnot.
Well, maybe the medication is shutting her down a little bit.
Well, she's been on it for quite a while. And here's another thing is that she's never had a long-term relationship, and I mean more than a month, because she just, for some reason, can't do it. And we've been out a month and a half, and so she says to me the other night, she doesn't know whether she's going out with me because to be selfish for her so that she can prove to herself that she can do it, or whether because she still likes me.
Oh, boy.
Are you making her feel comfortable? Are you, like, trying to help ease her comfort level in sex?
I mean, totally. But, you know, it's all mutual and everything like that. And, I mean, if she doesn't want to, I'm like, fine. And she just said she didn't want to, so I haven't really...
Where did she develop this intense fear of abandonment?
Well, I do know that her father left her when she was 4. But she, you know, grew up with her brother and her mom remarried and everything like that. So it wasn't like she didn't have a father figure.
And what was that guy like?
Oh, she said he was, you know, real nice. She still loves him to this day and everything like that. But she says how it's, you know, not her real father. So she's not.
So she's real, real involved with this abandonment issue with her dad.
Well, she can't figure it out. She just says she can't really trust anybody. And I said to her, well, you know, if it's somewhere I can help you work it out, I said, I'm willing to go ahead and do that. She says, well, it's something I need to do by myself and all that, yada, yada, yada. But, you know.
Yeah, you may be operating in a field that you don't really understand here. This is someone that has profound attachment issues, profound abandonment issues, and really may not be able to have a sustained intimate relationship, and she is bound and determined to sabotage anything that gets near that. This is what her therapy is going to be, establishing a relationship.
Maybe she just doesn't want to be with you anymore, and she doesn't know how to say it.
Sometimes, she's starting to say it.
Yeah.
Well,
really honest, and I said to her flat out that she said, no, not at all. She said, I just don't know what's going on. I can't figure out myself. That's what she said.
Hey, Kirsten.
Yeah.
Let me give you some sage advice here.
All right.
It's going to be a long uphill battle with this one. You are going to your hair's going to go gray 21 over this. I'm telling you, the deeper you get in, the more painful it's going to get. Because she may be this way for years.
Yeah, the more she's going to push back.
And the nicer and more helpful you are, the more she may push you away.
Yeah, the next move will be to sleep with a male stripper or something.
Right. Your strategy of trying to be helpful and sort of extend the olive branch to her, it was the same way with same strategy that would work with a polar bear. Really, just take your head off. Okay. Yeah, you got to jump around and try to scare her. But it's same with bears. That's how you have to treat women. You got to make a lot of noise. You turn around and run, they chase you down and eat you.
If you were to say to her, look, you need time by yourself to figure it out, and legitimately walk in the opposite direction.
Right.
She'll probably.
But I mean, is that going to end things, or is that going to make her?
It would probably make her come back. honestly. And I mean, you have to be willing to take that risk.
It's sort of your only move, really.
It is your only move. You gotta make this move.
I'm not so sure he can make that dance work. She needs that guy.
Well,
to make a relationship.
The unfortunate thing about that move is you got to actually mean
it's a risk.
Or sell it.
Yeah, but see, I think she needs to be with an abandoning guy. That's the only way she's going to be comfortable.
Right.
A guy who's not truly abandoning is not going to do it for her. She's going to feel out of control.
And Kirsten, first off, 21, and secondly, named Kirsten, you're in no position to handle this.
Hey, you know,
she's 26.
My parents did that to me. I got nothing to do with it.
I know.
No.
All right. Well,
Adam.
Johnny Cash wrote a song about a boy
Sue.
Named Kirsten.
No.
Oh, Sue. Yeah. Look, at 21, you are so ill-equipped to deal with this.
Yeah, but you're never supposed to be somebody's therapist. That's not a romantic relationship.
No, but we all remember coming up with strategies to try to save relationships.
Men do
plans.
That. Men do that.
I think women do.
Women just
do
hope
too.
That we can change them.
Yeah, men.
Right.
Men have like a war room. Men
right.
have a plan with like a manual that goes with it.
Right.
Women are just trying to hang on.
Right. That's why they call it a manual, not a bitual.
Hey.
Well, that's what I mean. A chickual. Girlual. A manual because we got a plan.
Oh.
It never works. I had a plan at 21. It did not work. I'm biding my time though. I'm going to implement
still
it.
Trying to find your dignity.
I was divorced at 21.
Were you
what?
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I got married at 19. High school sweetheart.
Where did you go to high school?
Bad move. Germany.
Germany. That's where you were military.
Army brat. Yeah.
So you
yeah.
met.
But that makes sense.
English
you're
guy
trying
or
to
German
grab
guy?
On. You're trying to find roots because you're moving around somewhere.
Yeah.
Is it a German guy or English guy?
No, it was an American. American guy
English
in my
guy,
high school.
An American guy. English speaking.
British guy.
All right.
From my high school in Germany.
And dated him all through high school?
Dated him junior year. That's it. Then he moved away and I stayed behind and went to college and put on tons of weight and felt insecure and he took me back and I married him.
And why did it break up so fast?
Because
no relationship.
At some point I was like, wait a minute, I'm still a kid.
That was acting out. That was acting out trying to find.
Yeah, I wanted some security.
Yeah, because she was moving around so much. Yeah.
I'm trying to think what country does it, like Israel with the military. Maybe everyone should be forced to get married at 19 in this country.
What's my dad doing in Israel?
And then divorce. And then divorce at 21, but no kids. You know what I mean? Just kind of take it more seriously, get it out of their system.
Yeah, you do. You learn that it's not something you should set up as a goal in
marriage?
Your life. Yeah, it's not a goal in your life to be married.
You know what? That's women have that as a goal. Men come on to it later.
Yeah. I don't think women should have it as a goal. I mean, I think they should.
You're not dying to get married now, right?
No.
See, that's the thing. See, I got to find myself one of those chicks.
Who does
I've dated. Have you ever done that when you were dating, Drew? You dated a few women in
yeah.
your day. You dated the ones who were dying to get married.
Yeah.
But did you ever date one that had been married?
No.
Didn't work out.
I had plenty that said they weren't dying to get married, but
they all are. Which
no,
you got to find.
No, that's not true.
No,
I'm not dying to get married.
No,
but
you.
I'm,
you.
Yeah,
I'm want
open.
You. You. I'm like Uncle Sam. I want you because you got out of your system. We could kick around. You could watch me fly my model airplanes and complain about the government for a while and watch TiVo for about 8 years. And then we could get married.
I don't watch TV. It would never work.
No. You watch me.
Watch TV. TiVo. Oh, let me guess. I'd be cracking open your beers and making you popcorn, right?
I can open the beer. I'm just going to need someone to bring it to me. If it's a twist top, I shouldn't have any problem with you. Bring a towel. I won't hurt my hand.
Oh, no.
Jerry Manthes are your guest tonight. She's from Playboy. And, of course, Survivor 2. We'll take a little break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, everyone, this is Tommy.
And Pamela Lee.
And you're listening to Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
All the sexual information you could possibly need.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Long Beach Dub All-Stars in here tomorrow night. Jerry
cool.
Manthe in here tonight from Survivor 2. And, of course, Playboy. She's on the cover. It's on newsstands now. 10 more days there, fellas. So
they're selling quick.
Yeah, I could imagine. Do you have any sales totals or anything like that?
Not yet, but I am waiting for the big number.
Does that mean something?
Yeah.
Do you get reimbursed more based on sales? Or?
Yeah, I worked a
those
deal.
Those bonuses.
I negotiated with
bonuses.
Them, yeah.
Now, do they have certain plateaus, you know, over 1 million copies, over 2 million copies, or whatever it is? You try to exceed those?
I'm trying to sell over 1 million copies. That's what I would
like.
Is
that the deal?
Yeah, because it's very rarely does that happen, and I just kind of hope that that does happen.
So
it'd be nice.
They have their subscribers, and then there's 1 million newsstand.
Yeah,
is,
something
what
like
they
that.
Try to what they try to do, and so so it's actually a good thing to work into everything because not only does it make more money for them, but it makes more money for whoever's in it.
Right,
and it sort of forces the hand a little of the people to come on shows like this and pimp it out a little bit, right?
I mean, I'm here because I like being here.
Oh, thank you.
And that's the truth.
Well,
I had a really good time the first time I was here.
But
oh!
I could just
don't forget to tape your waitresses.
Flashback to the conversation with the publicist 10 days ago. Who? That's right, Drew and the doctor. Yeah, I didn't care for the nappy-headed guy, but Adam was okay. Jason? Oh, wait a minute.
This is great coffee.
Jason? Oh, really? Well, you got low self-esteem. Jason, you're 17. What's up?
Yeah, I'm 17, and I'm bi, and, mm-hmm. You know, I've had a little bit of a troubled past, and I'm thinking maybe you can guys, tell me how I got this way.
I didn't even get that was so fragmented. I didn't quite get it.
You he's bisexual.
You're bisexual. What do you mean by troubled past? What does that mean?
Well, you know, I had a lot of people, you know, always. I had no self-esteem for like the first 14 years of my life.
Well,
that doesn't make you.
Yeah, bother. Yeah. A lot of people have that. Adam and I still have that. Yeah. 43 years, no self-esteem.
What do you mean? I think I'm king of the world.
Compensation.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
So, Jason. And what happened to you?
Well, you know, I lived in a town that was completely isolated from everything else in the entire world.
I see.
Some people might enjoy that.
So everyone in Alaska is gay or
it was Pennsylvania.
I don't even. That's where you started out, Adam.
Pennsylvania.
I'm frightened. I don't want to know.
I don't believe him.
Well,
I don't believe him.
Which part?
I think his thinking is off. I don't want to know. I don't want to figure anything else out. I don't want to know anything. I'm not fishing. I just want to know what your past was like. I don't try to attach some meaning to it. I just want to know what it was like. What happened?
All right. A lot of, you know, peers brought me down a lot.
Okay. So at school you were sort of made fun of and that sort of thing.
Yes. And, you know.
What happened at home that they didn't give you kind of the support you needed to develop a sense of yourself?
I was adopted into like an elderly family.
How old were you when you were adopted?
5.
Okay. What happened to your biological parents?
Never knew them.
Well, you were 5. I mean, my kids knew me by 5.
Stayed at the hospital until you were 5?
Well, yeah, not in the hospital, you know, like around.
You were in foster care.
Yeah.
Foster care. So they send you out of foster. Okay.
That'll do it.
Did something happen to you in foster care?
No. You know, just that, you know, I never really liked the people because they were either drinkers or, you know.
All right, Jason, did you hear us talking earlier to that guy whose girlfriend was always sort of pushing him away and had troubles? Do you have that kind of thing where you can't stay in a relationship very long, have trouble trusting people? Or if you do get involved, it's really intense and over-involved?
Well, yeah. Well, except that I'm like, I need a relationship. Like, I need like drugs.
You can't be alone.
Yeah.
That's not so much about not having a self-esteem. That's really not having a self. That's really not understanding who you are, right?
All right. So, are you uncomfortable being bi?
No. Forget. No.
Oh,
he's
shut up.
He's bi because he doesn't know what he is.
I'll listen.
Listen. What? Listen,
you,
please.
How
Adam,
dare
please,
you? No, no,
please,
no. Me. Just
please.
Shut up over there.
You shut up.
Shut
please.
His mic
I was
off.
Getting somewhere with this kid.
Oh, you weren't getting anywhere.
No.
No.
You're getting
it sounds
nowhere.
Like you just need to spend some time alone and be happy.
He can't do it. He can't. He's too empty. But what he needs to be able to
be alone without being lonely.
He needs to find some people he trusts who are really healthy adults. And spend time with them and really learn to trust them and have stable relationships over time. And you're going to act in all kinds of strange ways to sort of push them away and make them react and create drama. And if they really understand what's going on with you, they'll just stay present and help you work through some of that stuff. But that's what you need now. You're bi because you're non-sexual. You're every sexual. You're whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't know what he is.
That's the point.
No, he's agreeing with you.
No.
Jason.
Yes.
Do you have a boyfriend?
I'm breaking up with him.
Okay. And you've had girlfriends in the past?
Mm-hmm.
And you're comfortable with this?
Yeah.
All right, good. Do what Drew said.
This isn't about your sexuality. It's about it's about yourself.
Well,
about
it never is. I mean,
it never is.
Is it ever?
No, but this is, I mean, think of, that is a profound history. That, I mean,
yeah.
You never know who your parents are. Foster parents that are alcoholics and then adopt an elderly family doesn't connect with. That's just...
No stability.
No connection. Yeah. That's the thing. You relate because you didn't have the stability thing.
I had my family,
you
though.
You had connection,
thank
right?
Thank God,
see,
I had
you
my
had,
family.
You had the connection piece. He didn't even have that.
Ooh.
Yeah,
yeah right. That... I can imagine what
it would be. What rank was your dad?
He made it all the way to the command sergeant major, which is the highest NCO can be.
That's like three titles. I mean, command sergeant major?
Was he like the guys we had in here the other day that... The
guys from drill team or boot camp or whatever.
You got another question, weirdo?
Bring it up.
Hurry up.
Hurry up.
Get out of my face right now. Push, you nasty thing.
Make me want to puke.
Those are the guys
what?
From boot camp.
God, really?
No,
that's not my dad.
That's our dad.
That's not what dinner was like when he asked you to pass the potatoes?
No, you know, my dad was so good at leaving work at work.
Hmm.
He never brought it home, and I... To this day, I thank him for that.
All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. I want to apologize for Anderson, because I got to fix that clock up there.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll be back.
Hello? Is this Love Line?
Call 1-800-LOVE-191. Adam and Dr. Drew will be right back.
What's up with our air staff?
They're
high on speed or something.
Anderson's doing the two-handed cup on the cans and bopping his head like a bobblehead doll back
there.
Hey, it's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Jerry Manthey is here from Survivor 2 and now from Playboy as well. She's on the cover, so you'll know which one to get. It's on the newsstands for just a few more days, so you definitely want to go get that. And we got to get to that million plateau.
Sales?
Million sales plateau.
Oh, is that the number?
Yeah, that's newsstand.
So go out and buy 12 dozen copies.
Yeah, buy them for all your friends and then show up wherever I am next and have me sign up.
That's right.
There's one guy out there that's out there everywhere I go. And God bless him. He brings like 5 issues every time.
Yeah, the Sploozers.
Didn't go over so
well when I ran into them out there.
I know.
And did they give you any grief?
They're good guys.
We brought the Sploozer thing right up. April?
Yeah.
Hey, you're 21.
Hi.
What's up?
Nothing. What's up with you?
Nothing.
Okay. I have a friend on Thursday who is coming out of rehab. He's an alcoholic. And we've been through lots of stuff within the past year and a half. And I've seen him at his highest highs and his lowest lows. And he's getting out Thursday. And I really don't know if it's going to be a permanent change. And I don't know how to help him so that it will be.
How long was he inpatient for?
30 days.
And when you describe these high highs, is he bipolar also?
I don't know.
Is alcohol his only drug?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is 30 days a long time for an alcoholic?
No.
No. About average?
That's what really, frankly, anyone that's sick enough to need inpatient treatment needs 28 days. No one gets it anymore, but they'd be greatly benefited if they can get it.
What about Ben Affleck? Do you think that's booze?
Do I think he's what? His dad's a CD counselor.
His dad is?
Yeah, and it's interestingly...
What's CD?
Chemical dependency.
Nice. Wow.
And kids that come from parents who have a strong recovery program have far less consequence before they get into treatment.
So they get in earlier?
They get in real early. They have trouble usually. They fall a couple times because they're not so motivated by the consequences.
Right.
But then when they get it good and it stays.
Right.
So I bet he's going to follow that pattern.
You think booze, though?
I have no idea.
Maybe it's one
of
those
spins.
He's
a nice guy. He's a really nice guy.
Oh, he's a dear friend. No, I've never met him. But I always, when I see young guys... who, for some reason, even though I've only seen them on Entertainment Tonight and their movies, I'll decide whether it's booze or coke. I usually err on the side of coke.
I don't think so with him. You think it's just alcohol?
No, I think it's something else. Someone floated that theory the other day, and I sort of agreed.
Well, listen, these days, a young person, I don't know anything about his case, but a young person coming to treatment, it's relatively unusual to have a young person coming for straight alcohol.
Yeah,
because there's so many other drugs that take young people down fast.
Mm. Right.
That's just the way it is these days.
Yeah. You booze, you go the Mickey Rourke route. You know what I mean?
Maybe you keep it together longer.
Yeah, in your 70s, yeah. You go in and look into rehab. Just look into it.
Oh, God.
April?
Yeah.
All right. So, do you like this guy? Yeah.
Yeah.
I see. And does he like you?
We've talked about it, but we know it's not the smartest thing, and I know that it's...
Why isn't it a smart thing?
We know or he knows.
Yeah, why isn't it a smart thing?
Because he's... I believe that since he's not stable, how can he be stable in a relationship?
Well,
but wait a minute. Who's putting the kibosh on the relationship? You or him?
I am.
All right. Well, that's that.
He would like a relationship with you.
Right.
And you like him, but you're not going to go forward with it.
Right.
Really? That sounds... It sounds... I know you're a woman and you got your wits about you, but at 21, aren't you going to... You really like a guy.
She sounds smart to me.
Why didn't you go participate in his treatment?
Why didn't I what?
Participate in his treatment.
Well, it was more of his parents' thing. I talked to his mom the other day and finding out that he was getting out, and I'm participate and I listen to him and whatnot.
No, participating means you go. If you're going to maintain a relationship with him, you have to have treatment too. That's requisite.
What do you mean treatment too?
The person involved with an addict, the addict, in order for them to change, can't remain the same person they are in the relationship. The other has to change and grow.
But
also,
they don't have a relationship; they're just friends.
Yeah, but if she's going to have one, she needs to participate.
Did
otherwise,
you see when
don't
a man loves
it.
A woman.
No, I stay away with the movies about love and woman and man.
Hey,
and
it's a good movie.
I know what you're saying, Jerry.
Yeah,
right. I rented When a Man Dry Humps a Woman.
Oh,
is that a new title?
You starred in it. What are you talking about?
Thank you. Hey. It's only. I told my agent I want to get into features, and that's all was done.
What'd you make for that one,
April? all the craft service I could carry. Look, you like the guy, right? Yeah. You don't trust the guy.
No.
Has he broken your heart before?
No, not now.
Why are you so? And I don't really mean this in a bad way, although it sounds bad. Why are you so ultra responsible? I mean, you're 21, you like this dude. How come nothing's happened?
She's smart.
Yeah, I mean, because I've seen him with girls. I mean, I've known him for a year and a half. He's been in relationships while we've been friends, and I know that I don't deserve to be treated that way.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's easier to be someone's friend like that.
You sure he likes you?
Yeah.
Do you not trust the fact that he likes you?
No, she's seen what he does to other girls.
Yeah, I don't buy it. Don't buy it.
He's very suave with his words. He knows what we like to hear.
He's suave and charming, isn't he?
See, I'm hearing from April that he's sort of played her a little bit.
BS-er, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I've learned that from him, from Alcoholics do, because, I mean, I've...
All right, so why are you hanging out? I mean, you're friends with him, but you like him is why you're spending time with
you're
him.
You're not having sex with him, are you?
No.
Okay.
No. All right.
Yeah,
all
don't
right.
do that to yourself.
No.
All right, enjoy. I don't know the answer.
All you can just support his recovery.
Yeah.
Here's the basic theory, basic philosophy. Support him when he's going to meetings, doing what he's supposed to do. When he isn't doing that, you should check out of his life, period.
I think he jacked her over a few times.
A few times.
I think she was into him. Made it clear.
Probably.
He was loaded and chasing other skirts around.
She learned her lesson before she went there.
But she's still into him enough to want to hang out. She just wanted to make sure
maybe
it was a new
she just
hand.
Wants to be his friend.
No.
That's.
No.
21.
She's into him.
It's okay. It's okay to be attracted to your friends. It just adds an extra element to it.
David?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
I had a girlfriend for about 6 months. And she was my first person that I had sex with. She had been much more experienced than I had before. And then, just about half a month ago, a month and a half ago, she thought that she might be pregnant.
Mm.
And then it went back to, we found out about a week later, she wasn't. She was just about a week late. She took a pregnancy test, and it said that she was pregnant. Took one the next day, and it said she wasn't.
Oh, boy.
And we were really worried about everything. And then... We ended up breaking up about a week ago, and we realized, or I realized, that the relationship wasn't healthy with everything. We'd like spend like every single minute with each other for like the whole time, and it just, the relationship wasn't right. We want to try to still, like, I want to try to still be friends, because I was able to tell her things, and she was able to tell me things that we've never been able to tell anyone before in our whole lives.
So right.
Big deal with that. And then I hung out with her.
Like what? What does that mean? What are those things?
Just like things that we dealt with, like, in our lives that, like, no one else in our life, we've never been able to tell anyone else. Like, she's gone to a psychologist and stuff for like, past like 3-4 years to tell, like, to talk about this stuff, but I'd never been able to tell anyone about it just because it was really hard for me.
I get it. So you're saying the things that you were able to talk about that you weren't able to talk about,
you were never able to
talk
about.
Were
the things you're never able to talk about.
Were the things you didn't talk about with other people.
I can't talk about that.
You can't talk about the things you never were able to talk about.
I really trust and everything like that. And
I see.
I don't want that to, like, go away, and I want to, like, still really be friends with her.
Now I know exactly what they are.
Yeah.
Okay, I hung out with her the first time last week, and she wanted to have sex with me. And I said that I couldn't just because I wanted to try to be friends, and like that would not work out. And she said that, like, it wouldn't mean anything to her. And
well, that's BS.
Ouch.
That's BS.
That's not very nice.
But I mean,
guys, by the way, you can say that to a guy. Yeah, that's
down.
A positive to a guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're turning me on.
But that's BS.
How could I hang out with her and not, like, if she keeps on trying to, like, push things at me, how can I hang out with her and still try to, like...
First of all, I can't figure out why you are breaking this relationship up. Because... Give me a sentence. It's
okay.
Breaking up because...
We both were, like, too dependent on each other.
So why not balance the relationship with other aspects of your life, but maintain your relationship? Why go from enmeshed to broken?
I don't know. I guess there was...
A pin drops.
Yeah. What?
Isn't that a viable question?
Yeah, it is.
That's a great question.
And
why does it have to be all or nothing?
Exceptionally eloquent for you, too, Drew. Hey, David?
Yeah.
You're just not into her anymore, right?
No, I'm very, very into her.
Wait.
Listen, I don't got time for all this teenage angst.
What the hell do you think the show's about, for God's sakes? Listen.
It's about me and my issues.
I know. You had plenty of time to talk tonight.
It's about finding Santa Claus's mouth.
Blah, 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 blah.
You stayed with that one.
I was affected by that.
David.
Blah, 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 blah.
Do you just have kind of an uncomfortable instinct that this isn't right for you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that's enough. Then the end.
That's a good reason to end it.
Yeah. There's something up about her. You can't see it because you're in right now, but it isn't right, and that's fine.
Okay. You're not that into her. That's it. I mean, as a girlfriend, you're not into her.
Is there any way to
hang out with her?
No, six months.
6 months.
Yeah,
break.
You need time.
There's no way.
It sounds like she's somebody that really has a lot of drama in her life, and she's going to come in and pull you into her web one way or another. Stay away for a while.
And you know what can happen? You can swear up and down that you're not going to have a physical relationship. She can prime you up with a few beers and give you a BJ, and then where would you be? You know what I mean?
Disaster.
Feeling dirty.
It's all over at that point.
Never again. It's like you after masturbating.
You're taking those long baths, feeling like you can't get clean. Swearing never again.
Using an SOS pen.
That's right. My whole body's like an SOS pen.
Sexy.
Amy? I know, it turns you on. Amy, you're 27.
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I've been dating this guy for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And from the very beginning, it's been constant. I mean, we're always finding new ways and strange ways and
different places of having sex.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's good.
And is there such thing as having too much?
No.
If you hurt yourself. Are you harming yourselves?
No, I don't think so.
Are you unable to engage productively in your life otherwise? Are we on the radio?
Are you missing work?
No, I'm not missing work.
What is your question, Amy?
Like,
you're scaring yourself, huh?
I was married before, and I wasn't like this.
That's why you're not married anymore.
Right.
And, well, I mean, I don't know. I wasn't that in. I mean, I didn't really enjoy it.
All right. How old is this guy?
34.
Okay.
And now you do enjoy it.
Yes.
All right. Good for you. That sounds healthy.
Just just to get the details worked out here, you guys aren't doing drugs or alcohol together when you're doing this?
No.
All right. Yeah, good times. Enjoy yourself.
All I can say is congratulations.
And women change. I mean, Jerry, you're more into sex now at 30 than you were at 19, right? Is that correct?
Please.
Adam? You know what? I've always been a very sexual person.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I always have been.
Sweet.
I just know now what I won't put up with or what I don't want.
Sweet.
Right. You're talking about positions or?
No. Yeah. I'm talking about outside of the sexual aspect of a relationship. Right. That affects me more now than it did before. I'm more in tune with what's going on outside of the bed than I am in the bed, which allows me to enjoy what's going on in the bed more.
Well, let me...
Or out of the bed, or on the floor.
Let me... right, or like bent over the hood of an El Camino
kitchen
or something
sink, yeah.
Like that.
Never an El Camino. I've never dated someone who drove an El Camino.
Ranchero, excuse me. Ford's version of the same car, but Drew, let me float a theory here.
Yeah.
We always talk of women who didn't exactly have it going on sexually. I mean, as far as their libido goes, or as far as their sense of their self went at 18 or 19 right. or 17, but by 31, 32, were really hitting their stride.
Yeah.
And those women, for sake of confusion, essentially got hornier as the years wore on.
Yeah.
But women... And there's a handful of these women, too, who are horny at 16, 17. I mean, they just are.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to be about the same at 30, 33. It's
plateau,
not like they
plateau,
keep going.
Or No. Plateau or down a little bit.
Well, down if
what
it's
is
sort
a
of for the wrong
pride?
Reasons.
What mm-hmm. year? What years are...
It's different. That's what he's saying. It's different to different people. But one of the prevailing wisdoms is it's in the early 30s.
Mm.
For sure, your testosterone levels are going up, your estrogen levels are going down, but it makes sense with the biology a little bit,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So, but you were always, I mean, you hit the ground running.
Yeah, I've always been a very sexual person, and I've, explored all of that at an early age, so
yeah.
I'm very comfortable with myself now.
Good times.
Brown on sale at Walmart.
And sale at Walmart?
Brandon?
Yes.
Sale at Walmart?
Yeah,
what are you buying over there?
Actually, I was discussing the fabric in a crazy quilt that we just recently acquired.
Fabric in a crazy what?
Crazy quilt?
Yes.
Did you make it or did someone give it to you as a gift?
It was a gift.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Lots of love goes into those quilts.
They took that AIDS quilt and they sectioned it off. And they're selling them now as crazy quilts.
Yeah, but there's this a lot of this really... ugly brown in it.
Yeah. Someone could have returned it.
That's what I'm thinking.
Probably didn't have brown initially.
Yeah.
All right, so you got it from the Walmart, the crazy quilt?
Well, I'm thinking that's where the fabric come from that's in the quilt.
I see.
Remember we were in Wisconsin and we walked into a Walmart?
Wisconsin.
Did we walk into a Walmart?
It was across from that crazy
hotel. Oh, that's right, yeah.
One of the biggest departments there, we noticed, was the gun department.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Right. They like
yeah,
their
that's
guns.
A very popular department in Walmart.
Right.
Won't allow morning after pill, mind you.
ammunition,
but you can
no
shoot yourself in the head.
Yeah. Well, human life is very precious
so go
to
figure.
Them. All right, Brandon, so what's going on?
Well, it's what I consider a unique situation with information that I've had from friends is that...
I always like the preamble.
Yeah,
you know,
me too.
I would give this an 8 on the intro specter meter. Now.
Well, hey, at least I'm scoring points.
He's been sitting around for 97 minutes preparing that little soliloquy, too.
97 minutes?
Go ahead.
Wow.
Go ahead, Brandon. Spit it out.
The situation is my girlfriend and I never seem to fight, and I've got several buddies that are married and have long-term, some of the other ones have long-term relationships with girls, and they're constantly fighting and bickering, and I don't seem to run into that, and I just wanted to know if that's even healthy in a relationship.
Oh, that sounds perfect.
But maybe there's no passion, you know?
No, passion's not an issue.
Are you having sex regularly?
Oh, yeah.
Again, congratulations. Where these healthy people are calling tonight.
Well, thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome.
All right, so everything's working out. Well, let me tell you, are you worried that marriage is going to change that?
Well, marriage hasn't even been brought up at this point. I'm married and divorced, and my girlfriend was in a relationship for 4 or 5 years that went corrupt, and neither of us are even considering this at that point.
Corrupt, so. Huh?
Let me float another one of my harebrained theories here. But how old is your girlfriend?
She is 29. She's exactly 2 days younger than I am.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold so you don't interrupt me with the facts. And I'm trying to float my theory, but let me float this for Jerry and Drew. I have noticed this in my life, and I believe it to be true, which is when you're dating a woman and you're 19 and they're 19 or you're 21 or 22, they're full of piss and vinegar. They're on the top of the world because their biological clock is not ticking like it is at 29, 30, 31, 32. Now, I'm not speaking about all women, but women, when you're both 20, a couple of 20-year-olds are dating, the 20-year-old chick is in command. Completely.
Yeah.
Because not only does she have the sexuality and the whole thing like that, but she's a very hot property on the open market, and you're some peon, you know, 20-year-old is trying to finish college or move up the chain over at work at UPS or something. Yeah. You're not getting nothing. She's in charge. Yeah. And therefore, there's plenty of demands and a lot of bickering and a lot of stuff going on. I notice women mellowing out as they get to 30 and beyond, especially when they're not married, because their thinking is, I'm 29, this dude's 29, I'm not going to tear him a new a-hole, I'm looking for him to propose. Now, after we get married, then I have tenure. It's like a government job after we get married. I can't be fired. Then that's it.
Jesus.
You go from a Fortune 500 company to the post office in terms of how your work ethic is after you get married. It's like, screw you, I can't be fired. If I do, I'm going to walk with a lot of money. So I'm going to mellow out, and we're not going to get into it like we got into it at 21. I think that there's some truth to that statement.
I think you're full of crap.
There may be for some people in terms of attitude, but I don't think it's a reality per se.
No.
You understand what I'm saying?
I don't think it's even intentional. I'm thinking, think of the difference in your attitude between, hey, this guy's lucky to be with me,
that's attitude,
as opposed to, geez, I hope he pops the question.
Attitude.
No.
Posture.
You're going to try to make this, if you're looking to get married and you're thinking, you're hoping that the guy asks you to get married, you're not going to ride him like a mule and make his life miserable because he's not going to want to get married.
As you know, there's so many issues that come to bear and all that. People try to sabotage. And
I'm oversimplifying it, but I notice there is a humbling and mellowing process.
And maybe that's part of the biology,
you think,
too,
that that's what this chick is doing to him?
No, I think they're fine.
My
question to him was, why is he calling? Why does he need to call a radio station?
Just tell us, thumbs up, everything's
fine.
Is that
I have a big
penis? You know what? It sounds to me like peer pressure from his friends. Obviously, his friends have said, there's something wrong, you're not fighting. Instead of saying, hey, dude, congratulations.
Yeah, real men fight.
Yeah.
All right. We will take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Chloe. She's 22. She's on heroin, and she wants to know what Drew thinks of methadone. I can tell you it's not good. After this.
Loveline will be right back, so get your problems ready.
Hey, everybody. Loveline, I'm Adam, that's Drew. That's our friend, System of a Down, playing in the background. Anderson's rocking out, too. We're just going to stall until it kicks in. Is that what you want to do, Anderson?
Yeah, it takes a long time.
Oh, there it is. There you go.
Jeez, Anderson, you need to take more vacation time.
Jerry Manthes, our guest tonight.
When he comes back, boy, he's all charged up.
He's peaked up.
Yeah.
Well, Anderson does not go to Mazatlan or Cancun. He goes up to the hills of Idlewild and works with
cancer kids.
Right. Camp Ronald McDonald for good times.
That's right. Aww. He sits there and blows smoke into their face while they're making s'mores.
It's
a great gig.
That's not very nice.
You know, Anderson's he's like one of those psycho guys who picks you up hitchhiking and you want to get out after 2 blocks. He gives you that conversation where he goes, you know, I go up there because in my darkest depths, I know humanity's evil, and I learned to have disdain for my fellow man. And then I go up there and see the kid smiling, and it brings me all back to life again. And now he's back in amongst the healthy, and look out. He only likes people with cancer.
It's actually you that makes me hate humanity.
No.
Come back with a little bit of assertion.
That's right.
Training.
All righty. Where the hell? Long Beach Dub All-Stars in here tomorrow night. Jerry Manthe tonight from Survivor 2 and on the cover of Playboy, out on newsstands. And we're, again, trying to make that million sales plateau. So go out there and buy one. Chloe?
Yes?
22?
Yeah.
You're on heroin?
Well, I haven't used in over a month now. I'm on a methadone maintenance program.
Okay.
And I was wondering what Dr. Drew's opinion of it was.
Well,
I start my detox, and I found out that they had me on 80 milligrams of methadone, which I was not happy about finding out. That's
here's my problem. Methadone is had a resurgence in popularity. I personally think it's a mistake, but it certainly helps a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a harm avoidance strategy, and it's really being advocated because people on heroin have great difficulty getting well. I still don't believe that's a reason to just check out of that process and to not try to get well.
Mm-hmm.
Getting off methadone cold turkey after a period of months or years is extraordinarily difficult, if not impossible.
Couldn't they wean her off with heroin?
Well,
what happens, Chloe, is you're going to do your taper. You on 80 milligrams now?
Well, I was, and I started the detox, and then about...
Hang on. And what happens when you start detox, you'll start chipping heroin again. This is what inevitably every single methadone detoxer I've dealt with has done that. I would suggest that when you get down below about 20 milligrams, even if you're chipping heroin, go into a program and really make an attempt at getting well.
Well, I was wondering about, like, if I could get a prescription for some sort of anti-withdrawal drug,
That's all good, and that would all help you, but more than anything, you need structure. You need somebody assessing you hour to hour. You need help getting through this. And then you know what it's like when you're off it. Detoxing is the easiest part of heroin.
Right.
As miserable it is, it's easy. That emptiness that you feel when you're off, that incredible dysphoria, that emptiness, that sense of loss that goes on for months and months is what's intolerable, and that requires treatment. You've got to get treated.
Well, I found that, like, I don't need it to get
Chloe,
out of the house.
No, Chloe, it won't get better by itself, I promise you. You've got to go somewhere and spend time in a structured environment, months in a structured environment, and really
months.
Focus.
See, I don't understand how anybody can even go to that drug knowing... The horrifying aspects of stopping it. Physically, mentally, the whole thing.
The stopping, everyone has this sort of pathological fear, but the stopping takes about 5 days. It's no big deal. I mean, it's uncomfortable, but it's no big deal. The staying stopped is almost impossible. It is impossible if you're not in some kind of treatment. It's impossible. It never happens.
Well, people getting heroin have such pain that anything to calm the pain is
A lot of PTSD, a lot of trauma survivorship, a lot of all kinds of negative affect. That's called a lot of pain you're carrying around, and the heroin takes it all away. Mm. And it's hard to convince them otherwise. And it's out there big time right now. It's a very common drug.
How much methadone's in a liquid form, right?
Can be.
Much is 80 milligrams? What was she taking?
80 is modest. You know, it's not real high. 100, 120 is high.
Wow.
Is that milligrams she was taking?
Yeah.
Is that in a liquid form?
Sometimes.
They do milligrams in liquid form?
Milligrams in anything form.
Any form?
Yeah.
And, I'm looking at a NyQuil cap. Is that about halfway full, or what is that?
I don't know how they mix it.
They put in those little caps. You know, like the NyQuil cap.
Yeah, all right.
Shot.
There you go.
What's 80 milligrams?
Depends how many milligrams per cc she has mixed up.
Well, don't
is
they...
Is it 20 milligrams per cc?
Well,
40 milligrams per cc? It depends how they mix it. Oh, I don't know how they mix it.
There's no standard?
No.
Well, you don't know what it is. There's a standard.
I'm
sure there is. Thank you. All right, here's my point. If I took a shot of that...
You go to sleep for 2 days.
Oh. Can I get some of that?
Oh, Jesus.
Really?
Yeah.
2 days?
80 milligrams of methadone.
Can you imagine how crappy you'd feel when you woke up?
That's a big dose. Yeah.
I always feel crappy when I wake up. I had this great dream. All I dreamt about last night is that I was running late for this radio show. and I believe...
And I lived your dream.
You were on. Yeah, you were late. Jerry was on, and it was like 10:30 at night, and I was driving here, and I just...
Jerry was the guest?
Yeah.
About me?
I did in a sort of convenient way, in that I needed somebody to be in here.
You knew
for
the
me
guests.
Not to be here, and I knew you were going to be in tomorrow night.
Oh.
Or tonight, but it was tomorrow night when I went to bed. Yeah, I was dreaming. I never dreamed that. I never have those things. But you know what that is? I'll tell you what that is. And I'm worried. I can't figure this out with dreams. Why does it work this way? I had a bunch of people I needed to return phone calls to, a bunch of people that wanted stuff and meetings and stuff I've been putting off, and I hadn't been returning their calls, right?
Mm.
And I went to bed, and it was weighing on me. It was like, oh, Christ, I got all these business people and some personal stuff, and everyone's waiting on me to call them back, and I've been avoiding it, and I got to call them back tomorrow.
Are you depressed?
Is what I was thinking. No, I'm always this way.
And then you and I, yes, he's depressed.
So now I go to bed. Why can't I just dream about the goddamn people I'm supposed to call back? Instead, that energy, the same energy...
Gets converted all kinds of things.
Gets converted into a different form, and I'm wrestling with a three-headed dragon and running late to Loveline. You know, why couldn't it just be I got to call this guy, that guy, and the other guy back?
And remember, it was a weird energy night for me. I don't know if you had as well.
Yes.
And you and I got disconnected when we were talking on our car phones.
Oh, yes.
And I got lost in downtown Los Angeles trying to get around that traffic.
No, true. It
took me a half hour.
Was this
hour
last night?
Yes.
Is this in your dream or this
no,
really
No, it really happened to me while I was trying to call you back.
Drew and I speak on our cell phones on the way home every night.
We don't talk enough here already.
Yeah, so. You guys are really close, aren't like you?
No.
Can you believe Jerry? Can you believe that hair? Oh, my God. She's got to get some conditioner.
See your nails?
Yeah. I got the Playboy. You got the Playboy? Wait a minute. I don't have the Playboy. Holy crap. Where's the Playboy? No. Jared?
Yeah.
You're 20. That's what it's going to sound like. What's up?
Man, I was calling to want to know if I should give my girlfriend, or actually my fiance, ex-one, give her another chance when she cheated on me.
Why did she cheat on you?
Well, she, her friends were throwing her a 19th birthday party.
She got drunk.
She said only girls are going to be there, so, you know, I let her go.
You let her go.
She lied and she cheated on you.
See, we've been together for a year and about 2 weeks, and we lived together 8 months out of that year.
I bet just the one statement you made gives me a sense of what might be going on in this relationship.
She let her go to her birthday party.
He let her go to her own birthday party.
Yeah, she didn't even
catch
it. Hang on, Jared. Have she been kind of complaining about you being kind of controlling and not letting her be herself and kind of being jealous? See, that's when women cheat. When men aren't being aren't giving women their will and aren't being emotionally available.
Well, and when they accuse them of cheating all the time.
Yeah, and being jealous
and being
all the
worried
time.
About it eventually they do. But let's not pick on Jared too much yet because I want to find out what the story was.
Okay.
So.
And see, I knew something was up because she didn't want me to go to her birthday party.
Right.
I mean, so I kind of had a little suspicion there. But
but you get a little suspicion when she says she's going to go put air in her tires, right? at noon. I mean, you get a little suspicion when the wind blows, right, Jerry?
Yeah, a little bit.
All right, so she wants to go to this. She wants to go. She says girls' night out.
Right.
Okay.
And it was at her best friend's house, and no parents are around.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me that before I left. So I came to see my friends, and I got drunk that night.
Mm-hmm.
And but I didn't sleep with no other girl. And
right.
She knows that, and all my friends told her that.
Right.
Have you done that ever in the past to her?
No, I've never cheated on her. And she
okay.
Knows.
All right.
Okay, and that night, one of my best friends from here, she's a girl. She went up there to that party, and she's wanting to get us hooked up. You know, the friend that went from here to up there.
Right.
And she came back early. She came back to my party that I was at.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, I was like, Kristen, what are you doing here? And she said, the party was pretty boring, so I just want to come back to this one, see how this one was going. I was like, all right. I said, what's Tammy doing? She said, well, she's just partying, pretty much drunk off her ass, you know, drank a lot of vodka. I said, is there any guys there? She's like, no, there ain't no guys there. I found out a couple of days later.
This is that 20-year-old energy that vanishes at some point.
Yeah.
It's like God.
Thank God. For all. Yeah. Not just for the women, for the men also.
Yeah. Here's what turns it. Yeah, this big dude was banging the bejesus out of your girlfriend. Black guy? No. All right. Anyway. So what
I
else?
I can't see a TV. Move on.
Finger food?
Just give me another beer.
Yeah. Did they tap the keg or...
No, that energy, I have to be like reminded that I had that energy.
Yeah, I know, I remember that too.
Crazy.
That jealousy that would just drive you crazy.
All right.
Mm. Yeah.
So.
Okay, so then the next day we both meet each other back at the house at 3 o'clock. Mm. Well, I got there about, you know, 15, 20 minutes late and she wasn't there.
Uh-huh.
So I waited around for her and about 4:30 she showed up. You know, I asked her, you know, where she was, and she said, well, I had to go by McDonald's. That's where she used to work and get her tax form. So I was like, okay, that's cool.
Nice specific there on that, too.
He's told this story probably 20 times, I think.
It's a W2 or a 1040?
It's,
W-4.
Oh, W-4. Mm. Sorry.
Or it could be a 1099 if she's freelancing. Oh.
She's not going long this year, though. She's going short form.
The EZ.
How many dependents did she claim, Jared? It's important to the story.
I think zero. I don't know.
I see. Zero. Okay. You can claim yourself as one. Is this the next day?
Right, this is the next day.
All right, so she didn't smell of sex at this point. Okay, so she goes to McDonald's to pull a tax form.
And she's supposed to be at work at 6 o'clock that morning after she partied, and she didn't go. She told me she didn't go.
Right.
She slept all day.
Okay.
She came home, she wanted to go straight to sleep. She wanted to take a nap. So I said, okay, you know, that's cool. You can take a 2 or 3 hour nap.
All right, get to the punchline here. What happened?
Okay, and later that night, I just knew something was up because, you know, we'd kiss and stuff, and she really didn't seem like she wanted to, you know.
So you grilled it out of her.
Right, something was bothering her.
You sweated her out.
I finally got out of her after 6 hours of arguing with her. She finally eventually said, and the bad thing about it, her best friend comes over with the guy that she cheated on me with. They came over to our house to get her.
What did she actually do with him?
She slept with him for like 3 minutes, and her best friend walked in, so they didn't last that long. That's what she told me.
They were having intercourse.
They did have intercourse, though.
Yes, did. And her friend. Now, why did her friend come over with this guy?
That's what I want to know. I didn't even know it was the guy that she cheated on me when he came over that night.
Right.
That's,
you know,
disrespectful.
How did you find out about that?
Well, the next day, I asked Tammy, I said, who was that guy that was with Randy? And she said, that was the guy that I slept with.
I think your relationship's about toast.
Yeah.
This is all chaotic. Everybody's lying. It's a big mess.
It's a big old mess.
Jared,
it needs to end now. Yeah. Don't waste any more time.
Let me give you a couple of pieces of very sound advice.
All right.
First off, she did this. She made a statement when she did this.
Yeah.
She would have... If she was horribly and madly in love with you and dying to get married, and she cheated on you, she would have never let you find out about it.
Right.
She would have worked her hardest to be as normal as she could the next day, and you would have never got it out of her.
Right.
Yeah. That's number one. She wanted to send a message to you, and it's probably because you've been pushing on her too much lately. But she's saying, I don't want to get married. Now, you are never going to forget this.
No.
You are going to bring this up constantly, and it's going to end up being the demise of the relationship after you're married. So why?
And three girlfriends from now, you're going to laugh about this. Just thank God this happened. That relationship was no good.
Or three kids from now, if you get married to her when you guys get divorced.
No.
So Jared,
yeah,
listen to me because I'm twice as smart as you are, okay, and I'm considered stupid by my friends,
and twice as old.
And twice as old, but likable, just stupid.
Yeah,
kind of slow.
I understand.
Break up.
Yeah.
And
I already broke up with her.
Okay, don't get weird. Don't get drunk.
Don't go
creeping through any bushes.
All right.
She is a person that needs chaos in her life.
At this time,
you two are dancing this crazy dance, and it ain't going to work. And thank God. She did you a favor. I know it sounds trite, and it sounds like BS. Believe me, she did you a favor. Don't get married. Get into your own crap. Are you working at McDonald's?
No, I work at Walmart.
Good. See if you can work on your career and move up to like a Der Wiener Schnitzel.
No. Get married when you're 30.
Get married in 10 years.
Yeah. And if it doesn't happen, it's fine.
Don't knock anybody up. You're a guy. You got all the time in the world. All right?
She calls me every night, every day.
No, listen, I think it's over.
You know why? Because she's the chaos queen.
She feels bad. It's guilt now.
No, it's chaos. It's more dancing.
Yeah.
She can't dance now. All she knows is this chaos.
I think she doesn't like being wrong.
She,
whatever the reason, it's still the dance.
Yeah.
The dance.
Don't dance with her. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back.
Love Line. 1-800-LOVE-191.
We'll be right back.
Hey, yo, Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. There's Dr. Drew over there stealing some supplies from Westwood
Office
2, as we like to call it. Jerry Manthe is here from Survivor 2 and also from Playboy. She's on the cover of this month's issue, September, out on the newsstands as we speak. Only 10 more days. So go out there and pick one up for yourself. And Long Beach Dub All-Stars in here tomorrow night. John?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
And not a whole lot. Hey, I got a new word for you to call people, but you can only call people this if you really don't like them because it's a really nasty word.
All right.
Can you say it on the air?
Oh, yeah.
Mother effer.
No.
No.
It's Felcher.
No, Felcher. Yeah, nice. But that's out.
I've never heard that before.
I think Adam's actually called people Felch before.
Mm. You never heard of Felcher before?
I've never heard that before. What is it?
What's Felcher? Felching?
Is, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Is when a guy...
I have not asked.
A guy who, blows a load and a guy in someone's butt and then sucks it out with a straw.
Oh, God. Are you serious?
You haven't done that?
Hell no.
Oh, please.
No.
Oh, and Adam, I also have to give you props.
She's pretty uptight.
For the man show.
Yeah.
What?
That is just hilarious.
What? On what?
The periodic table for the it's on the internet.
Whoa, I haven't seen it.
Oh, you got to see it.
What? It's hilarious. You mean like a man show website?
Yeah.
Oh.
www.themanshow.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
All right.
.com. And then there's a big periodic table, and it has all like these elements.
Interesting. It's funny?
It's hilarious.
Oh, good.
I laughed my ass off through the whole thing.
What's funny about it? What do you mean?
Oh, come on. Let's get on with the call.
I don't know.
What did you call about?
I don't know what this thing is.
Look it up. John, what did you call about?
All right. Well, I had to ask Jerry a question.
Okay.
I would like to know, does size matter? And if it doesn't, because I'm really small, really small, and
how big?
What?
How small? I should say.
I'm probably about three, maybe three and a half.
Jerry, please.
That was not me laughing.
And
I know you never laugh at me, Jerry.
No, I wouldn't.
That's erect, right?
Yeah, that's erect.
All right. Please, Jerry,
that is
please.
So not me. Stop it.
It's not like you to laugh. I agree, but yet there you are laughing.
I know. I'm sad that he's already has a sense of insecurity about that. But I mean, there are other things you can do to compensate for size.
That's
you can
right.
become very good at oral sex.
Get a
you
car.
You can be very in tune with places to touch. There's a lot of other things, but. I mean, even still, I think at 3.5 inches, if you work it the right way, you're all right.
The good news for guys is hey, you can have a small penis and still be a great lover. True?
Yeah.
Right?
I think so.
You know, women enjoy the oral sex more anyway, don't they?
Mm.
Well, not you. You're a passionate, passionate woman. You and Drew ought to get
I
together.
Like it
you're both
all.
Very passionate people.
He's married.
I'm kind of... Oh, well, look, what he does on his own time is his business. He has an agreement. They swing. Hey, Drew.
Yeah.
Let me float another one of my theories, and then later I'm going to float a fart. All right. So I'm gonna
please make sure I'm out of the room at that point.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Some women really enjoy the actual sort of intercourse
right.
part of sex.
That's right.
And these are women, I think, like Jerry, that almost sort of approach it from a slightly more masculine way, in a way. I mean, they like sex. I mean, there's women out there, they like a good romping.
Yeah, yeah.
And they want to see some sweat fly and some ass slapping and some boob grabbing and all that good stuff.
Mm, all right. It's got to be tender, though.
All right. But you enjoy the intercourse part of sex.
Absolutely.
As most women
you
do.
You can't get closer to someone.
But there's a lot of women who would prefer to have oral sex performed on them over the intercourse, right?
For the orgasm part, yeah.
Even just in general.
It is harder to have an internal orgasm as a woman. Absolutely.
Easy.
The oral orgasm is easier.
Easier.
Yeah. As long as the guy knows what he's doing. That's why I think it's a very good thing for a man to know how to do it. Right.
Right. And what I'm saying about Jerry is she's a real McCoy.
Yeah.
I mean, she likes sex.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did we better know him?
Yeah.
Did we?
Yeah.
Did we help him?
I think the women who just sort of like the oral, like the orgasm, but not the sex part of sex. Do you know what I mean? Or the intimacy part, but not the sex
part. The intercourse part. Or the intercourse part satisfies something different than the sex itself.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Grace?
Yes.
You're 38?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Hello, Dr. Drew and Adam.
Hey, Grace.
I like you guys' program. I have not been listening that long, but I made it a point to listen tonight when I heard that Jerry was going to be on today. Hi, Jerry.
Hello.
I have a couple little questions for you. I was just going to ask you what you plan on doing in the future. Like, what's your next thing now that you did the Playboy?
Actually, I just wrapped a short film about 2 weeks ago. It's called Destiny, and it'll be touring on the film festivals. It's a great piece about, it's kind of a Twilight Zone feel to it. It's about a woman who has an abortion. And it's a pretty intense subject that people don't really like to talk about, but...
It's a farce-type comedy. She was telling me during the break.
A puckish romp.
A puckish set.
Yeah, a puckish romp. I'm learning all kinds of new words tonight.
And then I was just going to ask you, you know how Blind Date, I guess a while ago, I don't know if it was a year or two ago or when you had
3 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
They brought that old thing out. Did you know that they were going to do that, and was that okay with you?
I was so upset that they were going to re-air it over and over and over again.
Oh, you were on Blind Date.
Yeah, because they made it look like I did it after I got back from the Outback, which is so not the case.
Right.
It was one of the most horrifying experiences of my life.
Right, you did that, like, when they pull out that old thing, you know, like, Tom Selleck was on The Dating Game or something, and they dust that stuff off when the guy becomes a celebrity.
Yeah.
And that's basically what they did with
you. Yeah, it was extremely embarrassing. I got totally tanked on national television.
No, when I saw it on the commercial, I could tell that it was from a long time ago. I mean, I knew it wasn't after you came back.
Well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. My last question, honest. Do you think that you will be invited, and this is like a lame question, but I'm just curious, to Elizabeth's wedding, and if so, will you go?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. I guess we'll have to see.
When's her marriage or wedding?
I don't know. I think she's really busy right now, and I haven't heard anything about it. So I wouldn't be surprised if I wasn't invited.
I'd follow up with a bunch of hard-hitting, probing questions, but I'm tired, and we got to take a break, so we'll be back. That's it. We're out of show. I want to thank Jerry Manthey for coming in here and tell you that if you'd like to see more of her, you will. You can pick up this month's, which is actually next month's, Playboy. It's on the newsstands now. She's right on the cover. You can't miss her. And best of luck to you.
Thank you very much.
And come back anytime you like.
I would love to.
Long Beach Dub All-Stars tomorrow night. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying... Mahalo.
Well, I was looking for your experience in the anal world.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.